Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock school. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
You ever notice that, Sarsky and Hutch? I think they were in New York City. No matter where they were going,
they had a parking space.
The parking space right in front of the door was open.
And Chad B.
I'm the producer of this show. My blood pressure is going up as we speak.
Class is in.
This is Rock School. But then again, you knew that. You're the person who turned on the radio. You have control of your own destiny. My name is Joe Burns, and I'm broadcasting from the campus of Southeastern Louisiana University, where I am a professor. I make my life teaching students, making dumb kids smart. Here's one of the kids over here who was dumb at one point in time, and I made him smart. What's your name?
Don't point at me. I'm not dumb.
Chad
no,
P. You're smart now.
Oh.
Because you came through my classes.
Oh, that's what it is.
Let's make other people smart.
Okay.
What say ye? Remember, we have done, you know, the Hammond B3 show. We've also done a keyboard show.
Oh, yeah, instrument shows.
Right.
Harmonica.
Cowbell.
Drums. Guitars.
Sure. We haven't done a bass show yet.
Not yet.
We need to do a bass show. Well, after we did the piano and the Hammond B3 show, a friend of mine who's over in the music department says to me, "Why'd you do an entire show on the Hammond B3? I said, "Because I could."
And we found enough material to fill
right.
an hour.
And he said, "Well, you lost, you know, a lot of other great keyboards." I said, "Like what?" And he said, "Well, like this, and this, and this, and this." I said, "Oh, okay, fine. Why don't you give me some keyboards, and we'll do shows off of them?" And he said, "Okay," and he writes down these keyboards real quick. And I said, "Well, I don't really want to do a show off of every single one of these, I mean, because that'll be six different shows." And he said, "Why don't you put them all in one show?" Brilliant.
Well, how about that?
So there you go. We begin on this show of the six keyboards with the Mini Moog.
That says Mini Moog. That
no,
says Mini
it's
Moog.
Not Moog.
It's spelled Moog. M-O-O-G.
I'm with you. I have been calling it a Moog all of my life, but it's pronounced Moog. The guy who invented its name is Robert Moog. He's one of the guys who constructed a theremin in the early, I don't know, 1949, 1950, somewhere in there.
What's a theremin?
A theremin is an instrument that has, there's different versions, but the one most people would know, it's got a vertical and a horizontal metal bar, and you stick your finger in the middle of it, and depending on where it is in this X and Y axis, mm-hmm. it makes sort of an electronic noise.
Oh, I've seen those.
It's in the Beach Boys' Good Vibrations
and
such.
Yeah.
He then creates this first synthesizer. It's not digital, it's analog. It creates a synthesized sound. It's 44 keys. Rick Wakeman, who was a keyboardist for Yes, started using this thing, and he loved it because it was something that could be amplified, a keyboard that didn't have to be mic'd.
Okay.
It could be amplified, and it equaled him to the guitarists at the time. So he was real happy. The first group to actually tour with this Mini Moog was ELP, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. Maybe later on in the show we'll play a little bit because I want to play one from every keyboard before I start doubling it up.
Yeah.
So Mini Moog, not Moog. So the next time somebody says, "That's a Moog," you can say, "No, it's not. That's a Moog."
Named after Bobby.
That's right. And they'll look at you and say,
"I don't care."
I don't care. We start with one of the earliest uses of the Mini Moog. This is Pink Floyd. All of the noises, a lot of the was all created by the Mini Moog. Here's Welcome to the Machine on Rock School. There goes the elevator back up. I guess you're coming out of the machine there. That's
right.
Pink Floyd, our representation of the mini Moog keyboard invented by Robert Moog. You ready to have another keyboard?
Man, I like that one. I want to do another
one. You want to do more by that?
I like the mini Moog.
I actually have two more songs that
I
brought from that.
I shall call it the mini Moog.
That's right. I actually have two more songs. I just want to do all six keyboards first, and then I'll come back and start hitting them again.
Yonder we go.
Let's stay with the same group, and we won't play this song, but the next keyboard is featured on Pink Floyd's Shine On You Crazy Diamond and Have a Cigar. You're going to hear it on John Lennon's Whatever Gets You Through the Night, Rick Derringer's All-American Boy, Captain and Tennille's Love Will Keep Us Together.
Are you killing me? What's the name of this instrument?
The clavinet, ladies and gentlemen.
The clavinet?
The clavinet.
Like clarinet?
Yeah, C-L-A-V-I-N-E-T. The best way it was explained to me, this thing's built by the Hohner Company, as in harmonicas. It works like a keyboard guitar. When you push the key, a pluck or a strike is occurred. So you have that same thing like a guitar where you bop, you know, the note is actually created quickly. Boom.
Yeah, okay.
It hits straight away. When you let go of the key, it stops immediately. What's nice about it, according to this guy that I was speaking to, the keyboard, this clavinet, can be patched right into a guitar amplifier through single coil pickups. So what? The so what is that once you have the ability to patch this thing into an amplifier the same way you do a guitar, you now have the ability to manipulate the sound
the same way you
do with a guitar.
Guitars and you mini engineers.
You can put a phase on it, a flange on it, a wah pedal, anything. And in the song we're going to play, you're going to hear a little bit of fun placed on that because nobody played around with audio like Stevie Wonder. This is my representation of the clavinet, at least the first one this hour. Here's Superstition. Listen to it. It's the first instrument after the drums get going. This is Rock School with Stevie Wonder. Does a fantastic cover version of this tune.
Who's that?
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Ah.
At the end of the video, everybody in the video dies.
Okay.
I mean, it just bad things happen. You know, you walk under a ladder, you see a mirror crash for 7 years of bad luck. And at the end of it, when Stevie Ray Vaughan hits the last notes, you hear this real high voice, "Here, kitty, 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 here," and it's Stevie Wonder.
Oh.
And the cat that's been walking all the way through the video goes up and lands in his lap.
Oh,
really
so he's
nice.
Been calling the bad luck cat through the video and killing off everybody.
That's right. How dare you do my song?
Stevie.
We go to the next keyboard here on Rock School as we move through six different keyboards in rock. This one's called the Mellotron. You ever heard of this thing?
Megatron?
No, the Mellotron. You're younger than me.
Yeah.
It has been used in so many different songs. To go through them is kind of weird. The one everybody knows it from is the one we're going to play, Strawberry Fields Forever.
Forever.
The beginning of it, well, those must be flutes. Those must be clarinet. No, it's a Mellotron. Dig this.
Okay.
It's a 35-key keyboard. However, each key is attached to an 8-second tape loop.
Huh?
Think of it this way. You press the key, and by pressing the key, you begin an 8-second cassette tape. Now, it doesn't go to the end and stop. It's on a loop. It will keep going. But every time you press a key, if you press 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 at the same time, these tape loops begin to play. And depending on what you put on that tape, you can exchange it for, say, clarinets or a violin or a choir, and you can put all this kind of stuff in there.
Oh, man.
It's one of the first things that ever allowed sampling. By the way, one of the first people to buy it was Scientology founder L. Ron Hubbard. It had a real problem with what's called wow and flutter. That's when a tape goes whoop coming up to speed. And flutter is when a tape goes and it has a problem. And people think, well, that's really got to be a problem. Musicians loved it. The Beatles loved it. Listen to the beginning of Strawberry Fields Forever. You're going to go, is there something wrong with the tape? Yes. there was something wrong with the Mellotron tape.
But they like it.
That's how they got the sound. Hmm. Here are the Beatles and the Mellotron on Rock School.
Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to...
Don't you love how the Beatles just fade out? No, it'll come back. Go ahead and pull it down.
No, I don't. I don't like the way they do it. They give me heart attacks every single time. I'm the producer of this show. My blood pressure is going up as we speak.
This is Rock School. That's the Mellotron. That was the Mellotron at the end as well. Did you hear in there also they took the hi-hat from the drums and turned it around backwards?
Yeah.
So it was going sip, 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 sip. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. When we get back from our break, we're going to talk about that thing that made the sound at the beginning of Beat It. Do you remember Michael Jackson's Beat It? That thing that kind of sounded like a low gong?
Mm-hmm.
That was done with a specific keyboard, and we'll tell you what it is when we get back. Hello, WESU, Middletown, Connecticut, and...
And hello, Radio Universidad in Salamanca, Spain. Thank you both for being affiliates of the Rock School Radio Network.
Back in 1 minute. Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about some more keyboards, six in total that helped out the world of rock and roll. This one is called either the Fairlight synthesizer or the Sinclair. I've heard it. I've also heard it pronounced other ways of putting the emphasis on different syllables, but Sinclair or the Fairlight synthesizer is either way. Made by New England Digital in 1975, it was the first keyboard that allowed musicians to actually sample a sound. You know what a sample is?
Mm-hmm.
Something occurs, you make a dog bark, woof. You place that on a key, and then the key would be able to play it either up a half or down a half or however many. Yeah, that's when you hear those things around Christmas, the dog barking and he's singing jingle bells and barks. That's pretty much how they do it. It's got onboard computers. And the problem is, you normally could only get at one of these puppies if you were, say, Michael Jackson, because it does start Beat It and can afford one of them. But normally you only had it in the studio because they cost anywhere from $250,000 to $300,000 when they first came out.
Mm.
Everything we've played so far, very strong. You can see a synthesizer's to get across strong emotions. Not always. Sometimes you use a synthesizer just because you want to put together a goofy, fun pop song and it makes neat little sounds. Here's the Cars. Shake It Up, Rock School. Greg Hawks playing all those keyboards there.
Having fun.
Sinclair, ladies and gentlemen, on Rock School. We're going to come back and talk about the Wurlitzer electric piano. But first, welcome to the bottom of the hour. My name is Joe Burns, and you are...
I'm Chad P.
You always are.
Yeah,
you should come up with a new name.
Why?
At the bottom of the hour, we do something brand new. We get to say brand new for what, about another month?
Yep.
And then it's old. Okay.
It is old.
We go over the week. The week that was, the current week, something that happened on this week, each day in music history. Chad has a music bed for us. Go ahead. What are we doing here?
About that.
Oh, very nice. Some Satch. Very nice. So we have for you the week of February 2nd all the way through Sunday, February the 8th. Something that happened. We call it 7 days in 70 seconds, young man.
Yes, sir. February 2nd in 1973, Midnight Special debuted on NBC television.
And they saw their shadow, and there was 6 more weeks of rock.
That's right.
Thank you.
Very good.
February 3rd, on this date, you knew this was coming, 1959. Mm-hmm. Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper die in a plane crash.
That's right. February 4th, 1980, Chad P. was born.
Oh, congratulations.
But that has nothing to do with rock and roll.
Oh, well.
In 1978, the Bee Gees reached number one with Stayin' Alive. You like my Barry Gibb
impression? It sounded like him. It really did. I do more Reese, but I, you know.
No,
in 1958, on February 5th, the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences formed a New York chapter. It was called the NARIS. You probably know it better as the Grammys.
The Grammys! On February 6th in 1990, one Billy Idol stepped down from a major role in Oliver Stone's film The Doors because he broke several bones in a motorcycle accident.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the video. I can't think of the name of the video, but the one where he appears in the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he appears in the pictures instead of in the video is because he's sitting on a stool. He's got a broken leg.
Yes, sir.
Yep. On February 7th, American Beatlemania begins as they land at Kennedy Airport on their first trip to the U.S. And on Sunday, February 8th, 1969, Eric Clapton, Ginger Baker, and Steve Winwood announced they plan to form a new band, and they call it Blind Faith.
Blind Faith.
And that is 7 days in 70 seconds. We return to the keyboards. The Wurlitzer Electric Piano, made in Corinth, Mississippi.
What?
Yes, sir, Mississippi. 64-note instrument. It's produced this way. You know what a reed is? You've seen a saxophone.
Yeah.
It's got a reed on it.
Yes,
the way
yes.
the note is produced is you blow across that reed. It vibrates. And depending on how hard you pinch, you can make it vibrate one way or the other. And then you close off keys
mm-hmm.
to make the tone higher or lower.
Yes.
Imagine different sized reeds that would vibrate at different frequencies. You create this across 64 different keys at specific frequencies.
Wow.
When you press a key, these things are hit with electricity, known as tickling. When you, boom, hit that key, the electronic charge hits it, it vibrates, you have audio. And again, once you have audio, you now have something that can be not mic'd, but run straight into an amplifier. And if it can be run straight into an amplifier, it can be manipulated.
Oh.
You can put all kinds of effects on it. Here is our Wurlitzer Electric Piano representation, Supertramp. So logical on Rock School.
When I was young, it seemed that life was so wonderful. A miracle. Oh, it was beautiful, magical.
Yeah, what was that?
That was an old Coleco game. It went brrrr.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those football games. Yeah, they brought it up to the mic. I'll give you a dollar if you can tell me who's playing the saxophone in that song.
I don't need your pity dollar.
Huh? He played at the Super Bowl halftime. Huh?
Springsteen?
Huh? Well, no. Springsteen's saxophonist, Clarence Clemens.
Oh.
There you go. One more keyboard. This is why I did each one of them without playing multiple songs. We'd have never gotten through all the keyboards. We finish with the Fender Rhodes keyboard. This is one of those, it was explained to me, you either love this keyboard or you hate it. Do you know Billy Joel's song, Just the Way You Are?
Yes.
That's it. Do you know the theme to Taxi? Remember the television show Taxi?
I remember pieces of it.
Well, if you remember that, that's it. It's a very mellow, very calm thing. Let me tell you how it works. Once again, keyboard. But instead of it being electronic, as most of these have been, it actually works like a keyboard. There is, instead of a string that's being hammered, the way it was explained to me is it strikes what's kind of equal to a tuning fork.
Okay.
So instead of it being real abrupt, like plucking a string, boink, it goes boom,
mm-hmm.
has much more of a mellow, calm thing to it. Each one of those tuning forks is individually amplified, so you can't really play with it like a guitar. Mm-hmm. It's kind of mic'd. But what it does have that the other keyboards don't give you as much is it has a keyboard feel. You can hit the keys harder, mm-hmm. or you can hit them softer. And that's good, that's bad. It's one of those that you either like the sound or you don't like the sound. So everything I've told you so far, Theme from Taxi, Just the Way You Are, nice and calm. Here's a band I found that uses it with a bit of a growl. Here's the Alan Parsons Project.
God, I know you were going to do that.
I wouldn't want to be like you on Rock School.
That wasn't mellow at all.
I wouldn't want to be like you. The Alan Parsons Project. Hey, before we go into a break, I should have done this during the Wurlitzer electric piano. Mm. Now we've gone through our six keyboards. We can go back and start playing doubles by them.
Yes.
Remember me talking about the Wurlitzer electric piano and how it works with reeds, and we played that nice, calm, logical song by Supertramp?
Yeah.
Hit that button. Okay. Listen to this.
That's Van Halen.
Yeah. You hear that noise at the beginning?
That was it?
That's a Wurlitzer electric piano.
Oh, wonderful.
What he was doing is because you can play with it like a guitar, mm-hmm. he was running it through a phase shifter and then into his guitar Marshall amplifier, and what he was doing to get he stepped on the phase and then took his fist and just pounded up the keyboard and down. I've never seen Ed do it, but I have a video that sort of teaches you how to play like Ed.
Yeah.
And the guy comes out and says, I don't want to teach you how to play keyboard, but watch this. With a Wurlitzer electric piano, which I thought was interesting.
Lovely.
Got to take a quick break. Hello, Tiger Radio, KLSU, one of our lovely affiliates, and
hello, KSCL in Shreveport, Louisiana. What are we going to listen to when we come out of the break?
We're going to do another one, if I'm not mistaken, by the Clavinets. Yes, I am not mistaken. We're going to go to outer space with Billy Preston in just 1 minute. Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about some more of the keyboards that made their way into rock and roll. We're going to talk again about the clavinet. We've already played Superstition by Stevie Wonder, and now we're going to go to another unbelievably good keyboardist. As a matter of fact, one of only two people who were denoted, other than the four Beatles,
mm-hmm.
as a performer on a Beatles record.
Oh, cool.
How about that? Billy Preston. Let me tell you some other songs where you can hear this clavinet. The Gorillaz' Dirty Harry, The Rolling Stones' Doo 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 Heartbreaker,
mm-hmm.
The Doors' Love Me Two Time, my favorite Led Zeppelin song of all time, Trampled Underfoot. Rainbow, the heavy metal group Rainbow, oftentimes given the moniker of bringing keyboards into heavy metal.
Mm-hmm.
The Man on the Silver Mountain has a clavinet inside of it. But if you want to hear it again, let's get funky. Billy Preston, Rock School. First performer on Saturday Night Live, by the way.
I feel like you and I are like on Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, man. It's nice, good, groovy 70s music.
I always call good parking spaces Starsky and Hutch spaces.
Why?
Have you ever noticed that? Starsky and Hutch, I think they were in New York City. No matter where they were going,
they had a parking space.
The parking space right in front of the door was open. I've been to New York City so many times.
He'd slide in on two wheels.
Let's do one more from the Mellotron, ladies and gentlemen. We played Strawberry Fields Forever. Remember, the Mellotron is that 35-key puppy that has a cassette player. It's not really a cassette player, but that's the easiest way to do it.
Tape
attached to it. Here are some other places you can hear it. Marvin Gaye's Mercy, Mercy Me, The Ecology. Traffic's Hole in My Shoe. God, it's a great song. Donovan's Celeste, another good one, and the Zombies' Changes. But this one, you're going to say, no, that's a different kind of keyboard. No, I'm afraid they used a Mellotron. Here's Cream, Badge on Rock School.
Thinking about the times she cried away her life since she fell.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
It
Cream,
is.
Badge. There's a Mellotron for you. We're going to hurry up and try. We get two more songs in. I think we have time. Do we?
Yeah, we
should. Yes. The Synclavier, one more time, ladies and gentlemen, also known as the Fairlight Synthesizer.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the Dream of the Blue Turtles. Sting, Russians on Rock School. Boy, that was a great song. When that first came out, I just, that's deep, man.
It is deep.
From Dream of the Blue Turtles. And that wraps it up. We're in our final break, ladies and gentlemen.
Got a couple of minutes left. You can do another one.
I'm going to play one more tune to finish us up, but
okay.
We'll give our names one more time. You are?
I'm Chad P.
See, I always go first. Now I'm Joe Burns. See
that?
Now I'm second. I
that.
Shall follow you.
Oh, right quick. Let me announce that anyone who wants to send us feedback, show topics, questions,
right.
KSLURockSchool@gmail.com, KSLURockSchool@gmail.com, and we are also online at KSLU.org. There is a Rock School chalkboard on the right-hand side. You can click that. That is our website. You can see what we look like and get all kind of good information about the show.
Perfect. We're up for more awards.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we just put in for two more national awards.
Let's
see
if
we get it.
What you got?
Well, let me tell you. I got something by Moody Blues for the Mellotron. I've got something by the Band for the Clavinet. I've got the Minute by Minute for the Fender Rhodes.
Oh, play your Van Halen for crying out loud.
Okay, I'm going to play my
Van Halen.
Van Halen
in the lineup. It's like you're not going to play it.
For the Wurlitzer electric piano, we played a little bit of it earlier, but any chance I get to play Van Halen, I take it.
Right.
And the Cradle will rock. That wraps up our 6 keyboard show. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Class is dismissed.